These recordings of Rabbi Isaac Bernstein are provided courtesy of Congregation Ner Yisrael in London, where they were originally delivered.
This year is the fifth year that we've been speaking on Parshas Korach, and of course the story seems to be familiar, and as we will discover, nevertheless, there are a number of nuances in regards to the entire rebellion, for want of a better word, and also, towards the end of the shiur, a number of items will emerge which, for me at least, were certainly, to put it mildly, earth-shattering. So let's begin then with the beginning of the Sidra, the revolt of Korach. Exactly what does Korach want to achieve? Well, in regards to what his aims are, we consult the Ramban at the very end of his opening section to the Parsha. That is the Ramban, beginning by Yikach Korach, Perek Tezayin, Posel Galef. I'll read it out, may take a little time to find. He writes as follows. V'hakorov, what appears to be most likely is the following. Ki hoyu eile hanikolim, that all those who gathered together with Korach, kulam v'chodos, they were all firstborn, Doson, Aviram, On, and the 250. Ki al kein chora lohem ala kehuna. And that is why all of them assembled, because they were most jealous of the fact that service, avoda, has been removed from the bechoros and given over to the kohanim. Vilokach omar lohem Moshe, and that is why Moshe Rabbeinu, who wanted to attest who is right and who is wrong, that is why he said to them, Sheyikachu machtos kimin hagom horishon, that they should indeed take the pans on which the incense is to be offered, as originally the Bechoros did, v'yisgale hadovor, and the matter will be reconciled, resolved, im yivchar Hashem bohem, ova kohanim, if Hashem will choose them or the kohanim. So their particular gripe, for want of a better expression, is the fact that they are all Bechoros, says the Ramban, and they want to have the Avodah returned to them, removed from the Kohanim. Now that's the simple part. What is not so easy to understand, and it is a problem which we have looked at on occasion, is the following. We know, and we've looked at it in the Sefer HaChinuch in our shiur prior to Shavuos, that part of the revelation on Har Sinai was not only, and I use the words advisedly in this connection, not only that the Bnei Yisrael should have the opportunity of hearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo uveyatzmo, onochi v'lo yiyeh lachom mipi ha'gvura shmanu, not only that Bnei Yisrael should have the opportunity of hearing Hashem announce the first two divros, but what was equally important was the fact that there should be no doubt in anybody's minds after the revelation at Har Sinai regarding the authenticity of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah. That was a part and parcel of the entire revelation. V'gam b'cho ya'aminu li'olam. This is to be one of the pillars on which Ma'amat Har Sinai stands. If indeed this is part of what Ma'amat Har Sinai gave to the Bnei Yisrael, then how is it possible that people can come together and suggest that what Moshe Rabbeinu has done in appointing Kohanim in place of the Bechoros is personal whim and no direction whatsoever from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It is quite impossible to understand. We brought this question by the Gehillas Yankov based on a statement in the Igeres Taimon of the Rambam. But the question is always the same. How could people genuinely believe, after having themselves personally attested to the authenticity of Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu, how can Bnei Yisrael come together and listen to someone or people suggest that what Moshe Rabbeinu has done, he has done of his own accord? And I came across this year a new volume which arrived in my library, and that is a volume on of Ma'amorim by the Chevron Rosh Hashiva, Reb Simcha Zissel Brody. And it is a most beautiful volume. And what I've taken out of it is the main thesis that he presents, and you'll find it in Gemara and Tosfos. Again, the question, How come that B'nai Yisrael are convinced that what Moshe Rabbeinu is doing is, in fact, of his own bat? And Reb Simcha Zissel refers us to a Gemara in Gemara Shabbos, and then to a Tosfos. The Gemara reads as follows. Tanya, we have learned in a Braisa, right? That is a source which is outside the Mishnah, but of the Mishnaic period. And the Braisa reads, Gimel Devorim Oso Moshe Midato. There were three items which Moshe Rabbeinu initiated of his own accord, the Hiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Imo. And then, subsequently, HaKadosh Baruch Hu confirmed that that is what should be done. Number one, Hosif Yom Echad Midato. Whereas the Torah had indicated to us in Parshas Yisro that Moshe Rabbeinu is being told, Heyu Nechonim L'Shloshes Yomim, prepare yourself for the third day, Moshe Rabbeinu added on an extra day, and Ma'amad Har Sinai occurred a day later. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was masking with him. But it was his own initiative. U'pireish mino isha. He separated himself from his wife. That, of course, was the famous episode at the end of Parshas Baalosecha, right? That was of his own accord, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was masking. And thirdly, v'shiveir es haluchos. He smashed the two tablets of stone. This he did of his own accord, and it was only afterwards that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Asher Shibarta, Yiyasha Koach Asher Shibarta. Now, says the Tosfos, V'im Tomar, and if you will ask, Minolon, how do we know, Depiresh Moshe Midato Kodim, how do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who initiated these moves, and only Veshuv Hiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al-Yodo, and only subsequently did HaKadosh Baruch Hu confirm? Shemo Zehu Tzivui Gomur Shetzivo Lo Lifrosh? Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu had originally commanded him to separate himself from his wife. How do we know that he was the one who initiated the separation, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu merely confirmed it? Says the Tosfos, Vitirates Rabbi Notam answers, Deimi sodamachmas tzivu HaKadosh Baruch Hu pireish velo midato. If you were to assume that separating himself from his wife came about as a direct commandment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hei choya me'arer Aharon u'Miriam, then how would Aharon and Miriam have the chutzpah to complain about something which he is doing in conformity with divine command? And we know that they did speak, because the pasuk says at the end of Parshas Baalosecha, "Vatadaber Miriam v'Aharon b'Moshe." Hello, if indeed they did speak about it, and they spoke disparagingly about it, "Isvadai mitechila pireish mimenu legamrei Moshe bidato." So therefore, you can rest assured that initially it came from Moshe Rabbeinu. Ah, you'll say to me, says Tosfos, but all right. Naniach, as they say in the vernacular. So it came about initially through his initiative. But at the end of the day, this is an initiative which was confirmed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so how can they speak against it? Is v'yafalgav dehiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu al yodo. And even though subsequently HaKadosh Baruch Hu confirmed this move, mikol mokum nisra'amu olav, nevertheless, Aharon and Miriam did complain against him. Why? Because had you not made the first move, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have done anything. You went ahead and separated yourself from your wife. Had you not separated yourself from your wife, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have done. So therefore we are asking you, why initially did you do such a thing? We know now it can't be changed. But why did you do it to begin with? So a very well-known maxim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always guides a person in the way that he wants to go. Because they are saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has never told us to separate ourselves from our partners, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks with us. So therefore the initiative was from you, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is masking, but we are complaining against you. Why did you even initiate such a proceeding? Says Reb Simcha Zissel Brody, we see here a particular phenomenon in regards to Moshe Rabbeinu, and that is that there are certain moves which he initiated, and the rabbis confirm that he initiated these moves. And as the Tosfos points out, it could very well be that without these moves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have left as is. But he went ahead and initiated these moves, whether he broke the luchos, separated from his wife, added on an extra day. But at the end of the day, the initiation was through Moshe Rabbeinu, even though the confirmation came about from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'chvodo v'yatzlo. Says Reb Simcha Zissel Brody, Korach and his gathering are saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, we have absolutely no doubt in our mind that what you are doing now is a result of divine command. But we are suggesting that it was because of your own selfish and subjective motives that you initiated this move of appointing your brother a Kohen Gadol and his children Kohanim and your tribe Leviim and giving them all the quote-unquote plum jobs. You initiated it, and afterwards HaKadosh Baruch Hu confirmed. And in the same sense as Tosfos is putting the words into Aaron and Miriam's mouths, had you not initiated it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have done nothing. We are suggesting to you likewise that had you not initiated it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have left it alone, and therefore we blame you for having initiated this move, which was selfish and totally unwarranted. So therefore, says Reb Simcha Zissel, if you are asking how is it possible for those who saw Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai and experienced the authenticity of his nevuah, how could they possibly doubt that what he was saying was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he said it was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the answer is yes. They believed it was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But they believed that the order was somewhat different. It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu and Moshe Rabbeinu listened. It was rather Moshe Rabbeinu told HaKadosh Baruch Hu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened. That's what they feel was wrong in all these appointments. Now let us move on, because this is a very, very, very fascinating item here. Now we can understand, and let's take on one or two psukim which become very meaningful. Let's take Perek Tes Zayin, Posuk Kaf Ches. Vayomer Moshe, when Moshe Rabbeinu was preparing to announce the miracle, if God didn't send me, then they will die ordinary death. If Hashem did send me, then they will die an extraordinary death. Of course, first of all, we've got to have the kasha. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't send me, so I don't deserve to die at all. That's a good kasha. And the answer, of course, say the rabbis, is because for fomenting machlokas, even if you're in the right, of which we will speak later. But let's go on. Vayomer Moshe bezos teidun ki Hashem shilochani lazos eis kol amasim u'ele ki lo mili bi. Those are the words, says Reb Simcha Zissel. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, I want you to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me, so why does he need that go on and say ki lo mili bi? It wasn't mine. According to the way Reb Simcha Zissel learns, it's magnificent. You should know, ki Hashem shilachani, Hashem sent me. Ah, you'll say to me, but he only sent me after I had initiated it myself. You should know, ki lo mi li bi, my heart is not involved in it whatsoever. The chagayin is done. Ki Hashem shilachani la'asuz kol ma'asim o'ele, Hashem sent me. Ah, you'll say to me, he only gave it as a confirmation after it had been initiated by me. The answer is no, kilomili. But unfortunately, as we know, this particular episode did not still the disquiet amongst the Bnei Yisrael until the episode of the Matos. And here I want to draw your attention to something most magnificent. And that is, when we come to the episode of the Matos, let's take it on Perek Yud Zayin. We'll see here a subtlety which is absolutely masterful. According to Reb Simcha Zissel, Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to explain to the Bnei Yisrael that whereas the rumor is that he initiated and HaKadosh Baruch Hu confirmed, he wants to try and uproot that feeling from amongst the Bnei Yisrael that the entire initiation of the Kohanim came about solely through the agency of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can he do that? How does he do that? He does it with the matos. Why? Because they start to flower and blossom. That's a bigger miracle than the earth opening. The answer is as follows. Pasuk Kaf, Perek Yud Zayin. V'hoya ho'ish asher evchar bo mateyu yifroch. The one whom I will choose, his staff will begin to blossom. And through that, v'hashikosimi olaya tzilonos b'nei Yisrael ashehim alinim aleichem. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu say to them? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show you who is the true one. Because his mate is going to blossom. Mateyu Yifroch. Now what happened? Pe'efosuk kaf gimel. Vayehi mimacharos vayavo Moshe el ohel hoedus. And behold, on the next day they came to the ohel. Vihine porach mate Aharon, and indeed the mate of Aharon blossomed. Vayotze perech. It brought forth blossom. Vayotze tzitz, and it started to bud. Vayigmol sheketim, and almonds had grown on it. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu was only confirming what Moshe Rabbeinu wants, then all that Moshe Rabbeinu announced in this regard was that the matter should blossom. But that's not all that happened. It blossomed. It brought forth buds. It started to grow almonds. That was the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu was showing the Bnei Yisrael that in this regard, it is not an instance of Moshe Rabbeinu initiating and HaKadosh Baruch Hu confirming. Because if that was all that it would be, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have confirmed only by the blossoming of the staff, not by the buds and not by the young. So that is the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu confirms to the Bnei Yisrael that the initiation of Kohanim into the priesthood was not done as a result of Moshe Rabbeinu's initiative, but this is what Kach also machshava l'ponai, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do. Let us move on now to one or two other items in regards to the Adas Korach. Let's move back again to the beginning of the Sidra, because there is a most profound observation which is made by the Netziv, and it is in regard to the Itzapotot base. Let us never for one moment discount the extraordinary qualities of this man, Korach. I mentioned before, and worthwhile mentioning again, the Kotzker Rebbe used to refer to Korach as the Heilige Zede. A very extraordinary personality. And we will see his strength of personality, his charisma, we will see it from the observation of the Netziv on Pasuk Beis. So there's Korach, there's Dothan, Aviram, and On ben Peles. Vayakumu lifnei Moshe, and they rise up against Moshe Rabbeinu. Va'anoshim mibnei Yisrael chamishim u'mosayim, together with 250 men. Who are these people? Adishkotzim, Nisiei Eda, Kiriei Moed, and Shei Shei. Have a look at the Hamikdavar. What do these titles represent? Nisiei Eda. Says the Hamikdavar, Nisiei Eda means Manhige Hador. They were the leaders of the generation. Kiriei Moed, they are people who are called for occasion. Meaning, Sheyoshvu at Ko im Moshe v'Yaharon. They were the men who sat together with Moshe and Aharon v'chol Moed on every occasion. Shenidrash le'etzav esushiyo. When the people needed advice. So these were people who are Manhigi Hador, and they are people who sit together with Moshe Rabbeinu on all occasions of importance. And they are Anshei Shem. Now what are Anshei Shem? Says the Netziv, Mashmo'o b'shnei ofanim. These words can be understood in two ways. either mefursomim b'shem liyanshe mala, meaning men of an outstanding name, in other words, men of repute, or beis, it can mean either anshe maisa tov, men of good deeds. And that's, in regard to that, we have the phrase tov shein mishemen tov. Okay, after the brackets. So why are we told who these people were? V'hodiyah ha'kosuf. The pasuk describes these people in the following, in that way, in order to inform you ad kama higia koach divrei nirgon shel korach dosen ve'avirom. In order to show you how these people were influenced by the mischievous machinations of Korach. To get these people to stand up to Moshe Rabbeinu and say what they did, they had to be, as they say in the classics, under the influence. Ad shilakocho leiv anshe mala halolu, you will now understand the greatness, the astuteness, the cleverness, the subtlety of Korach, who is able to encourage these men to rise up against Moshe Rabbeinu. Shemitzad hasvora lo hayu reuyim lavo lidei midazu, because all logic should have dictated that these are not people who are going to come up and say Lemoshe v'Yaro lomos isnasu al kahal Hashem. Why do you glory yourselves over the Jewish people? To get these people to say something like that, as they say, dostaf minkev. Why? Imitzad shehayu nisiyei eda. First of all, the people involved are themselves manigei ador. They are leaders, right? And every leader knows that you've got to have leadership qualities. You can't be a nebuch and lead. To be a Talmid Chacham, you need a brain. To be a Yiddish Shemayim, you need a heart. To be a leader, you need a spine. You can't come to people, Metzke Petzke. If you want to say, they're going to follow. So these are people who know what it means to lead. You cannot be ambivalent. You've got to be decisive. V'im kein lo hoyo lehem nishbotis Moshe v'yaron limis nasim shelo l'shem shomayim chas v'sholom. So they should not have come to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, why do you glory yourselves over the people? Because leaders have to lead. Furthermore, another reason why they shouldn't have said it is because they are kriyei moed. Vayeshvu yachtov imam. And they are people who sit down together with Moshe v'Yaron. V'ro rov an v'sonuso v'halicho serecheret shelohem shelohem v'hisnasus yaseilach as v'sholom. And they know, on those occasions when Moshe and Aaron sit down with them to debate on matters concerning the future of the B'nai Yisrael, they know how humble Moshe and Aaron are despite their greatness. And no right to say that to them. Furthermore, and from the point of view of the fact that they were anshe shem, they should not have said it. Why? The ein ish efrosi motze pevel oshon lahagid lemisha godl mimenu madu atisnasu afilim hoyakin chasashalom. Because people who are anshe shem don't talk like that. People who are anshe shem, whatever interpretation you give it, of the two interpretations I've given, says the Netziv, either they are men of note, or they are men of maisim tovim. You don't speak like that. Lomotis nasu. It's a vulgarity. It's not appropriate to these people. Bezehu midas pechusei erech. And this is a quality which is only, as it were, found amongst people of inferior worth. V'chol apogum pogem. As the rabbis say, it's only people who are themselves blemished who can cast that type of blemish. So therefore, imitzad yiras Hashem, they should not, even from the point of Yiras Hashem, they shouldn't have come up and said these things to Moshe Rabbeinu. But you can see how insidious Korach worked on these people until all was confused in what Korach spoke to them about, and he influenced them so greatly that they were able to come to Moshe and Aaron and to speak to them as they did. So the Netziv is very anxious to point out to us, and we need to be confirmed in this from time to time, that Korach is not your average individual. Korach is a man of enormous ability. And for sure, whatever his motives may be, he was a man who had to be stopped in a most melodramatic fashion, which seems to indicate that he had made great inroads on a people. And even though the Ramban has pointed out that his timing was good, because it's just after Moshe Rabbeinu has announced to the Bnei Yisrael that they're not going to enter Eretz Yisrael, they're going to be wandering for 40 years, and timing is everything, but nevertheless, it still needs a man of ability to almost pull off, Chas v'Sholom, what he almost managed to do. Okay. Now, in reality, I'm not going to go through the other Marim Makom that I have in the Meshech Chochmah, but it is very important to point out. And it is something that Meshech Chochmah says, and interestingly enough, the Netziv himself confirms. We have to make a distinction between the Korach, Dason, Aviram, and Own Ben Peles, although Own disappears very, very soon from the scene. We have to make a distinction between Korach, Dason, and Aviram, Lechud, and the 250 men who were joined with him. Because even though the 250 who joined with Korach appear to be his cohorts in this particular campaign, in reality we will see that they themselves entered into this particular confrontation because they had a genuine desire, perhaps maybe Ulai Efshar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will choose them to be in place of the Kohanim. That was their whole ambition. So much so, as Meshech Chochmah points out to us at the end of this lengthy column, they used their machtos, their pans, for the ketores, which was to be the korban, or the test by which it would be proven whether they are indeed fit or not. These 250 men died. But as we see from a pasuk later on in the parsha, the machtos, the pans which were used by them for bringing the ketores, became later on a covering for the Mizbeach. Because what they did l'shem shamayim. And fascinating it is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Korach, Dason, Aviram, and the 250 men, take ketores, Korach does not. Korach refuses. And that is why, if you look later on in the Sidra, you will see that it is only the 250 men who were involved in bringing the ketores. In fact, as the Meshech Chochmah says, and so subtly, there is a psychological drama here. Moshe Rabbeinu says the test is going to be through the ketores. And the 250 men immediately start running for their pans and the ketores. Says Korach to them, he starts to make fun of the 250 men. You are coming here together with us in order to challenge the integrity and authenticity of Moshe Rabbeinu. So why should he be allowed to dictate the terms? Why should you automatically defer to him and say, you want to test through the containers? There'll be a test through the containers. So Korach refuses to have anything to do with Moshe Rabbeinu. He refuses to allow him to dictate the order of prayer. It is only the 250 who take it. And that is why, again I mention, even though Korach has influenced them to rise against Moshe Rabbeinu, but not to rise against his authority as Dafke, but to rise against his authority in the hope that what will be achieved will be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will decide that they are indeed more worthy to serve him than those whom have been elected up to now. Let me then, just before we close this particular episode, let me, however, refer you to a very, very fascinating observation by Revelbel Briska. When Moshe Rabbeinu summons Dason and Aviram, as we have it in Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayishlach Moshe likro l'Dason v'Aviram, Vayomru, and they said, Lo nale, we're not coming up to you. Right? Go on then to Pasuk Yud Aleph. Lo na'aleh, we're not coming up. A repetition. Pasuk Yud Beis, lo na'aleh, you want us to come, we're not coming. Pasuk Yud Aleph, lo na'aleh, we're not coming. Why do we need a repetition? Fascinating. Let me read the Revel. Hine yeshli ayein ma'asho omru dosen va'aviram pamayim lo na'aleh. Why would Doshan and Aviram say twice lo nale? Says Rav Elville, of course, this is the way Brisk traditionally answered all questions. V'yavur ha'dover al pimar de'ishim v'gemora zavachim v'barambam hilchas peis ha'b'chilo. The answer will be, bearing in mind what the Gemara says and what the Rambam rules, Dila Moshe Rabbeinu Hoya Din Melech. Moshe Rabbeinu indeed had all the trappings of Melech. Vayehi Bishulun Melech. Melech is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was a king in Israel. That's number one. Vechein Hoya Hanasi Varosha Sanhedrin. And he had another role. He had a role as head of the Sanhedrin. So, Visholach likro osam betonas beistin. And when he sent to summons them to come to him, he was summoning them as the Rosh Beistin. How do I know, says Rav Elville? Because the Gemara in Moed Katan says, oh, my Rava, Rava says, minolon de meshadrin shiluche de veidinim izamnin in leiladino. How do you know that the Beistin has got to send a delegate who is to summons the parties to the Beistin? Because the Pasuk says, Vayishlach Moshe likro lidoson v'laviram. So Moshe Rabbeinu sends a message to these people to come, and according to the Gemara, he sends it as the head of the Sanhedrin. Okay. V'im kein hoyu chayavim b'chvodo v'nishmoa b'kolo. So therefore they are entitled to listen to him for two reasons. Number one, they should listen to him because he is the Rosh Beistin. And secondly, they should listen to him because he's a melech. Says next paragraph, Lefize meduyek heitev mashe hishivu dosen v'avinom. First of all, they said, lo na'ale, we're not going to come. That's Pasuk Yud Beis. They had been summoned as a head of the Sanhedrin, and they said, we're not coming. But then they went on to say, ach lo el eretz zavas cholavu devash heve yosonu, batite lonu nachlasod v'chorem. All of a sudden, in Mittendorin, they said, we're not coming, that's Pasuk Yud Beis. And then they go on to say, you know what? You haven't brought us anywhere nice. You haven't given us vineyards, and you've done nothing for us. That's why Aflo Eletz of Atcholov and Vosh Haviyosanu is put in between, in order to say, and even had you wanted to send us a summons as a king, we refuse. So here you have a very beautiful explanation of the dual themes in this particular matter. We now come to some very, very fascinating material. And I do sincerely hope that these are matters that will be received favorably, because they are mare makomos which are too important to be ignored. You see, the episode of Korach is a sugya of machlokas. That's what it's all about. However you want to color it, whatever you want to say, the subtleties, at the end of the day, it's a machlokas. And indeed, the rabbis tell us, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Omar Rav, in the name of Rav, kol hamachzik b'machlokas, a person who foments or who prolongs a machlokas, over velosase, transgresses a negative commandment, and that negative commandment is a pasuk in this week's Sefer, velo yihyeh k'korach v'cha'adoso, let no man be like Korach and his congregation. According to the Ramban, the Nachmanides, it is in fact one of the Tariag mitzvahs. Now, what I want to draw your attention to is the actual syntax of that particular pasuk. Because if you look in the Chasam Sofer, you will see there that the pasuk reads, "Velo yihyeh k'korach v'chad oso." Follow carefully, please. Devorim ha'omdim berumo shalolam. Let no man be like Korach v'chad oso and his congregation. Kasher diber Hashem v'yad Moshe lo. As Hashem spoke to the hand of Moses to him, never saw that expression in my life. And what's it got to do with Velo yihyeh k'korach v'chad oso? Says the Chasam Sofer, the evening is yet young. Hine atorozu shelo nachzik b'machlokes shelo yihye adam k'korach v'chad oso. Everybody knows that. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. A person is not allowed to foment or perpetuate machlokes, because then he transgresses v'lo yihyeh k'korach v'chad oso. Says Chasam Sofer. V'hine Yesh Heflesh Bein Machzikei HaMachlokas Shel Achshav LeKolech V'Chadosu. The big nafka minute, a big difference between those people who perpetuate Machlokas nowadays, end of the 18th century, and those days of Korach and Adosso. Why? Because in the case of Korach v'Chadosso, Hayu Nechlokim al Moshe v'Soroso, they said Moshe Rabbeinu was no good. The Torah is no good. So those are the people who had a Machlokas those days. They started a fight against Moshe Rabbeinu, and they fought against the Torah. The Torah is a garnish. Right? Hababahem Shalach Shav. But the people who start the Machlokas and going nowadays, Omrim v'machlokosam, they say in the course of their arguments, on the contrary, Shosim kein l'shem shemayim. They're doing it l'shem shemayim. Umotzim pesukim v'halochos v'talmud v'shulchan aruch. And on the contrary, they bring proof to their side from Torah. Umotzim pesukim v'halochos v'talmud v'shulchan aruch hamorim, and from these sources, they find an indication, shem mitzvah lachlo kal ploni, that not only is their view right, but it's a mitzvah to fight with the other side. Ola mosro litvor michmor, or to get him put in jail. Uchadov. The nimsa. So therefore you'll say to me, einenu over alav zeh. There you'll say to me that the people who go into Machlokas nowadays, they are not transgressing the mitzvah. The lo sasev lo yikakur v'chad oto. Shaharei einok a Korach. Because they're not like Korach, they say. Ki Adonaba, the country, Kavar Ramas Hashem Alav Le Moshe Rabbeinu, Besayroso. Shako Yehiyeh Kamoshe Hustover, on the country. On the country, the Pasuk says, like I say. Tairach says there's no Pasuk. For the people who foment Machlokas nowadays, Mom, we mean there's no Pasuk. Of course the Pasuk. So happens the Pasuk goes like I say. And on the contrary, because the Pasuk goes like I say, it's a mitzvah to be right of everybody who says otherwise. Af Ato Emorlo. Says the Chatzim Sofer, say to the person who believes in going to war because he believes his pshat is right, say to him, V'chitov atomi Rabbi Eliezer HaGodol, are you a greater man than Rabbi Eliezer HaGodol, who argued with the Chachomim in Bava Metzia Daf Nun Tesomet Beis, and even caused the walls of the Beis Hamerish to quake in order to confirm that his view was right? V'chisavorotach ha'yoser tova mishalo. Is your logic and your understanding of the Pasuk greater than his? V'kavonosach ha'yoser etzuya mimenu. And is your kavonah l'shem shemayim greater than Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol's? Uvechol zos lo ha'wil lo. And at the end of the day, Rabbi Eliezer's confrontation with the Chachamim ha'gonishkol. Because all, not only was he refuted on that halacha, but the Gemara goes on to say that all those people who had previously acted in accordance with Rabbi Eliezer in declaring this various items to be tahorim, they had to burn them all. And at the end of the Yomid, if you look in Nun Tes Amud Beis, after the entire episode, Rabbi Eliezer was put in cheirem. And Rabbi Akiva took Geshem to tell him he's in cheirem, so Rabbi Akiva put on black robes and sat down on the ground beside him, and Rabbi Eliezer got the message. V'cholzos lo ho'ilo ki osur lachlok ulahachzik afilo l'shem shamayim. But he got all the tzoris that he got, because even though you feel the halacha is like you, but to use the halacha in order to go to war is out of the question. Afilo l'shem shamayim. Now look what this man, Rav Moshe Sofer, see what he does with the pasuk. V'zeh she'omar. My friends, look at the pasuk. Velo yiyeh kekorach v'chadosu. That's the first losaser. Never be involved in an argument which is the type of korach v'chadosu. Rise up as Korach did and his edos. And then there is a lo yiyeh goes on the second part of the pasuk. Velo yiyeh, and never be one of those people who is of the opinion kasher diber Hashem biyad Moshe. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to write in the Torah exactly like I said. In other words, the pshat in the pasuk is only like I said. Shelo yase atzmo, a person should not make himself ki'ilu diber Hashem b'sorosu b'yad Moshe lo huva'aburo, as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has spoken only to him and only on his behalf, leimor, as if to say to him, kocho hadin, This is the only way. For halacha kamosh ani choshev, and the halacha is like I say, who mix vol yirzof with a hasig, and it's a mitzvah to chase away people who say otherwise. Cholila, no siye kozos. Cholila for something like that to be. It is as big an avera for a person to be like Korach v'chadot. And it is an equally grievous and heinous crime for a person to say that the halacha not is like me. The halacha is only like me. And anybody who says different to me, it is a mitzvah that I say from the Torah for me, by Yerdov, and you have to pursue him, etc. Cholila lausiye kozos yisku. There are different halachic opinions. Different halachic opinions has to live side by side with the issur of causing machlokes. How does it do it? It's a good question. I refer you now, my friend, to a Mishnah in Sukkah. A Mishnah in Sukkah. Mi shahaya rosho v'rubo v'sukkah. A person is sitting in a sukkah, and his head and the majority of his body is in the sukkah. The shulchan over so chabayis, but the table on which he's going to have food, the table is in the house, not in the sukkah. Beishamai toslin. Beishamai say that's not a kosher sukkah. Why? As the Gemara explains, shema yimoshech acha shulchano, lest in eating he might stretch himself over outside the sukkah. So Beishamai says, no good. Ubeisileil machshirin. And Beisileil says, the sukkah is perfectly okay. Okay. Another machlokes, Beishamai and Beisileil. Omru lohen Beisileil Beishamai. Beisileil said to Beishamai, we want to prove that you're wrong. Lo kachoy omaisa. We want to recall to your mind a famous event. Shoholuchu ziknei Beishamai v'ziknei Beisileil, that the elders of the house of Shammai, the elders of the house of Hillel, went levaker et Rabbi Yochanan ben Achoroni. They went to visit this notable gentleman, Rabbi Yochanan ben Achoroni, on Sukkot. Umitza'u, and both of these camps discovered him, Shehoyo Yoshev, Rosho, Veruva Vesukkah, Vishulchon Vesechabayis, and they saw him sitting there with his head and the majority part of his body in the Sukkah, and Shulchon Vesechabayis, and his table in the house, says they still Velo Omru Lo Dover, and they never said a word to him. Beshama was there, Beshila was there, Beshila said, we went along, the gentleman was sitting and you think it's no good, and nobody said a word. Omru lohen Beishamai. So Beishamai says to the Beit Hillel, Yishom Raya, on the contrary, from that episode is indeed a confirmation of our view. Why? Because our tradition is, Afheim Omru lo, because the Ziknei Beishamai who went to visit this man in the Sukkah said to him, Him Kein Hayisa Noeg, if this is the way you've been conducting yourself every Sukkah, like Kiyam to Mitzvah Sukkah Miyamecha, you've never kept a Mitzvah Sukkah in your life. It's a Mishnah Sukkah. So Gemara Brachas, you would get out of it. And I learned it, I don't know how long, many times I learned the Gemara Brachas. Ladies and gentlemen, isn't somebody telling a lie? Beis Hillel says, we went to the Sukkah together with Beis Shammai. Nobody said a word. And Beis Shammai says, Mum Gezuchtin Tatnarai. They told him, Kelei Sanoig, they kiyamtam it's a Sukkah mi yamecha. Somebody got a hearing aid problem. Marvelous China. There is a sefer called Mole Rotzon, authored by Rev Naftali Mivar Maizer, written about 500, 600, 700 years ago. Sef Rev Naftali Mivar Maizer, Elu vi Elu Divrei Elakim Chaim Beit Hillel is right, and Beit Shammai is right, the old Rebbe's story, everybody. How come? Says Rav Naftali Mivar Maizer, when the Ziknei Beis Shammai and the Ziknei Beis Hillel came to visit in the Sukkah, they were sitting together with the Balabos, and the Balabos was conducting himself like Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says, we don't hold that. You don't hold that way? Thank you very much indeed. Other people do. So while you're in their company of Beis Hillel, you keep quiet. Beis Hillel were the first people to leave. When the Ziknei Beis Hillel had left the Sukkah, if the Ziknei Beis Shammai said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Achoroni, you don't mind us saying to you, but
this is not the way you conduct yourself in the government. Look, you should have the table in the... You are asking me, how do you reconcile Elu v'Elu Divrei Elohim Chayim with the Isser to go to war? The answer is that you have another opinion. You respect the fact that there are other people who have a different opinion. And Beis Shammai can sit down together with Beis Hillel and they can have a lekach and a cup of coffee and they can schmooze about everything in the world except the Mishnah and Sukkah. And then, if you have an opportunity, when there are no people who are going to start a machlokas, you can say to the balabos, you know, you invited us, we feel it is our duty to tell you. Now, I don't need to tell you what the modern ramifications of this particular matter are. There could be two opinions on any halachic topic. And the Chatam Sofer says, Cholilo, Losia Kozospi is Yisrael. That the fact that you have a different opinion in halacha is an excuse for going to war with all the Chilul Hashem amongst Goyim that it embraces. Very, very important. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are sitting together in the sukkah and they are friends. And if you don't believe the friends, look at the Gemara at the end of your Yavama. They are friends. What has a difference in halacha to do with machlokes? When they came to the Prem Shavana Rebbe, that's all. And some people were happy with the Shochet. Epis of Bedikas Horea wasn't going so marvelously, but the half of the Kehillah were happy with them, and half of the Kehillah were not. And what do they do? And the Prem Shavana Rebbe replied, the questions of Bedikas Horea that you've brought up to my attention are in Yonim de Rabbona. Machlokes is an issue to your eyes, there's no question. Leave it alone. Machlokes is to your eyes, and you're arguing the Rabbana, the Hameven Yovin. Let's then conclude with a most fascinating extract from the Layman Haggadah. In the Hebrew, not original, but in the Hebrew. And I do it for a purpose. Meshech Meos Shanos Hagolus. During the centuries of our exile, Lo Hayu Chaserim v'Yisrael Anoshim v'Noshim Gedolim Charedim v'Tzadikim. We have had our share of the greatest and most lofty spirits. Avol ha-geula lo yochlo lovo. But the geula couldn't come despite the existence of these people. Why? Mipnei ha-merivos shehirchiku ish meirei ehu. Because of the arguments which have separated one Jew from another. Kitos uplogim iru tomid es shalom b'nei ha-geula. Different factions, different groups. They have disturbed the peace of our exile. Whether it was Tzedukim, Baitusim, Minim, Karoim, Shaptonim, Eviu, Oson, Ubilbul, Ben Kehilos, Yaakov, Be'artos, Pezurehem. They have brought confusion and disaster amongst the congregations of Jacob. Avol lo rak biglal nigudim ekronim gedolim. I'm sorry to have to tell you, says Rabbi Meir Lehman Zatzal, that the groups did not go to war over major issues. Elogam biglal devorim pechutei erech. They went to war over narishkeit. Shehevi'u lesina uli evinus, which brought hatred and blindness. Oy gam hayom od lo nihiya yosato, and even today, 1831 to 1890, it hasn't improved. Eish hasina v'hamachlokes mislakachat v'lehevot. The fire of and argument is still blazing in all its glory. Lifnei kemeyos shana, approximately 100 years ago, porach limud ha-Talmud ben Yehudei Germania. The study of the Talmud began to flourish amongst the Jews of Germany. Oz porotso ha-machlokes ha-umlola, and at the same time, the famous, disastrous machlokas spread neged harav hagodol Rebbe Yonos in Eibishut, against Rebbe Yonos in Eibishut. Nitzigei Torah Hashem lochmu, the princes of the Torah of Hashem fought against each other, v'komu echad neged hasheni, and one rose up against the other, v'af hishpilu echad et hasheni, and one even diminished the other, degraded him. Ein l'tayer, we cannot possibly imagine, kama hizik horiv hazeh, how much damage this argument did. the Gam Goram and the argument itself calls Laharchik es Hanoah milimud haTorah, to distance our young people from the learning of Torah. Ein l'tayer, we cannot imagine, kamoz epoga b'yiras shomayim, how much this machlokes has damaged yiras shomayim, it's called. Hoya solonu owes his damnus l'shmo al-kach b'b'nei hador. I can tell you I even had occasion to listen about this argument from those people who lived then. Shehoyu eidim l'machlokes hazos, who were witnesses at that time. Yesh l'hitztayer ad miyod. We have to trouble ourselves and to be saddened so great. Shegam bein Yehudim ha-charedim, that even amongst the Charedi Jews, sholetim riv u-mitza, quarrel and strife abound. And then comes the most awful statement. Halaylo hazeh kulo mitza. This night of our exile is one long machlok. Ze marich es leil ha-. This lengthens the night of our. My friends, I think it is important to mention to you, and I don't want you to take it in any other way than a statement of fact. This entire section that I have read out for you in these closing moments of the Shiur appears in the German edition of Lehman's Haggadah. In the Hebrew edition published in 1967, this entire section was omitted. The section that I have read out for you is a Hebrew translation from the German, which appeared in a journal, Hamayan, in Tov Shin Kaf Tet, 1969, 2 years after the appearance of the Haggadah. The Halo Dovor, something well worth thinking about. Unfortunately, we cannot, as some people suggest, we cannot rewrite history. If we are not able to live with the fact that we have committed my mistakes, then there can never be any possibility of improvement. We would like HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do with a lot of things that happened to us in the past, as they have done with this. But you can't do it. We cannot rewrite history. And we're speaking amongst ourselves, and I'm not concerned with the wider community. I'm talking about amongst ourselves for the Shiur. Sometimes we say a pshat, sometimes a rashi, a gurariya, a ramban, and Ibn Ezra. On other times we bring mare makomos, which remind us, the fault, dear Brutus, is not in our stars, but in ourselves. This is what this man is saying. And he is a gentleman who is considered precious and revered enough to have most of what he has written translated not only into Hebrew but into English. Why can we not stand erect and face accusations which are speaking to us in tones which are crystal clear? This is the problem. It goes from the Chasam Sofer, it goes down to Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, the mission is not only a pshat in Sukkot. That's the vote. It's a pshat in how you live halachically, not how you live politically. If you live according to halacha, you can see somebody who's eating in a sukkah which does not conform to you, but you keep your mouth shut. If you're a halachist, you keep quiet. If you're a politician, then you do make every noise that you can make. That is what is happening here. The tragedy is that what should have been halacha became halacha plus politics. And these are mare makomas, I respectfully suggest, after all we come to the parsha of Korach, these are items that we have to retain in our minds. If the Chasam Sofer can say, Cholilo losia kazos b'Yisrael, he's a man who knew what was going on. And a man who was very well aware of the fact that there were people who argued with him. But argument and difference in halacha is one thing. Going out to war and machlokas is something else. And the Rav Lehman's words, I'm not going to go over them again, but the Golas has gone on and on and on, and as far as he is concerned, there is only one cause, and maybe this is the week to think about these particular matters.